Ladies and gentlemen, very quickly, I'm going to be running you through a scenario that I think people, how to explain this in a better way, that gets undervalued in American soccer pay to play, which I'm going to highlight here in a moment. So you might not like this, you might like it, I don't know, but I felt it's crucial to talk about. And I talked about it once on my Twitter feed, and I'm going to highlight it here very quickly and give you the story. So after I graduated college in 2015, I decided to go to Europe, and I was playing semi-professionally, got looked at, blah, 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 I went through. Okay, so I'm going to talk about this story about me being in Europe and how the American model of pay to play completely on a trajectory sets kids up for failure, especially if the goal of wanting to get to the next level. Here's why, and I'm gonna give you the situation and talk about it quickly. So I went to Europe again as a 22-year-old, almost 23 year old man, after graduating college, been through the pay to play system, everything in between. And so this was what you would call semi-professional. They paid me a very small salary. They gave me housing and they gave me transportation to and from training and matches. And what's completely interesting is the story that goes with this. So again, you might like this, you might think it's terrible. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you it anyway. So here's how it goes. I go to France, get there in August. I'm playing Division Four semi-professionally. Okay. The first 2.5 weeks that we're there, we're living, me and five other guys, or four we have, they put us in a middle school dorm. So we're living in a dorm with no Wi-Fi. There's no TVs. It's two bunk beds in a room, community shower, whatever. And then we have middle school food. So we're eating middle school class food for 2.5 weeks, right? And we're still going to training 4 times. That process. And then after 2.5 weeks of going through that, which is hard enough already, considering the fact that almost everybody that's in pay to play, not everyone, but let's say 80%, 70%, whatever the number is, come from middle class families like myself. Okay. Then they move us into a like house. So it's still five of us in the countryside, which was actually awesome. I can't lie. It was very cool. We each had our own room, Wi-Fi, TV, all that fun stuff. It was great. We were there for about 2 weeks, right? So we're now about a month in going through the same process. And there's some other stuff I'm going to come back to, but I'm just trying to highlight the experience living there first. Okay. So then after that time, another 2.5 weeks, they moved me and the other English speaker into the club's training ground facility storage closet. The other three guys moved into a apartment that was hopefully that makes sense. So we moved into the club training ground closet, me and this other guy, English speaker. And what's nuts is we were sleeping in sleeping bags in the training ground closet, right? So talk about like a guy, myself, coming from a great environment in terms of being in America. I have privilege. Mom and dad took care of everything. And here I am as a 22-year-old man sleeping in the club's training ground storage closet on a sleeping bag. Like, what in the fudge, right? It's just like, what? What are we talking about? This is a first world country, by the way. So we're there for probably another 2 weeks, give or take, right? They eventually move us into a house. This is where it gets more nuts. They move us into a house, okay? In this house, in the house that is 45 minutes away from civilization in terms of like having Wi-Fi and community and whatnot, it's an hour and 15-minute walk to the training ground. So if we want to go to the training ground by walking, it's an hour and 15 minutes. Anyways, we move in, me and the other English speaker, the three other guys are living next to the training ground. 5 minute walk, if that, literally next to it. And they have Wi-Fi, TV, all that fun stuff. Me and the other, and they all speak French, by the way. And me and the other guy, we move into a house that's 45 minutes away from the town, and then an hour and 15 minutes walking to the training ground. In this house, bro, there was nothing. And when I say nothing, literally nothing. It was probably 3 bedrooms or maybe 2 bedrooms and a bathroom. And in the house, there was one futon, which is a foldable couch for me and this dude to sleep on. There was no Wi-Fi, no TV, no electronics, nothing. And then there was one table, two plates, two forks, two knives, two spoons, two cups, and that's it. That is the entire thing inside the house. And like, What I'm trying to highlight here is the prof, and that's where I lived the rest of the time that I was in France at this club. And what I'm trying to highlight here, though, is like what you actually go through if you're not worth millions and billions of dollars. So like we get to see on TV, right? On TV, we get to see Chelsea, Manchester City, Manchester United, these guys making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month, if not millions of dollars a month or weeks. And you get to see like what I'm giving you is like the perspective of somebody trying to break through the barrier to go get to that point, to start making hell of a lot of money. They need to see, do you have this? Can you handle, part of my French, the fuckery that comes from being in these type of environments? Because, dude, I was making, I think, 300 euros. Like, that's it. Housing, transportation, no Wi-Fi, no TV, nothing. We had to walk 45 minutes just to go get public Wi-Fi to talk to our friends and family. Like, that's how real this shit was. This is, and by the way, this was in France, right outside Saint-Étienne. This is not some third world country, bro. And like our kids, like myself at the time, we had fucking everything. Dude, I had a PlayStation 3. I had a TV. I had a TV in my room. I had my own damn bedroom. I had my own damn bathroom. Had all that shit. And now I moved to a first world country in Europe as an adult. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what is going on here? I'm like, this isn't how we should live. I didn't fucking know any better because I was grown up in the system that treats you as, you can have everything you want, anything and everything. If you don't have it, mom and dad will take care of it for you, bro. Like, it's crazy. And like, I'll flip it to you this way. So now talking about training. So hopefully that story makes sense about the living experience. And there's more, but I wanted to give you that quickly. From a training and playing experience, the first day we get there, like, hey, Kyle, what position do you play? I'm like, oh, I play 6 or 8. My favorite player is Paul Scholes. I try to model my game like him, so on and so forth. Cool. Same day we have practice. Boom, go into practice. This is like my third day in France at this point. And we do whatever, warm up, blah, 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 blah. They put us into an inner squad scrimmage because they want to see how we play. Dude, the first ball, like the first ball I get, bro, guy comes flying up, two studs, the opposite number to me. So the 8, because I was playing 8 this time. Two studs up like this. So his cleats are like this, off the ground, flying right into my right leg, right there, crack my entire shin guard. I'm screaming because I'm like, bro, that hurts so bad. I'm dying, bro. I thought I broke my leg. And then eventually I realized my leg's not broken. I'm okay. It's just, I mean, I still have a big ass cut. I don't know about big ass cut, but I had a cut on my leg from that point, like a deep wound, so to speak. And I'm rolling on the ground. I look at the dude and he's standing, not over me, but close to me. And I'm like, bro, what the fuck is wrong with you? And you know what he says to me? Bro, I will never forget this shit. You know what he says? Bienvenue en France, which means welcome to France. And like at the time, I'm like, yo, fuck this dude. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? Right, but then like when you sit there and you actually think about it for a second, right? Like you sit back, like kind of what we're doing now, and you're thinking about this. And I'm going, dude, what the fuck is wrong with this dude? And what I realize now is, dude, me and him were worth nothing. We're worth $0. I've come into this club to take this dude's spot. Like the truth is, I came to this club to take this dude's spot because my goal, the target was for me to go to League Two teams in January. So I get there in August, we're trying to run through this, get to January, get to the transfer market, boom, in, out, done. That was the idea at least, right? And he's like, welcome to France. I'm like, this motherfucker, like, who is this dude? But like, I didn't realize at the time, like, me and him are competing for the same fucking dream, bro. Like, they're paying us. I don't know how much they were paying him, right? But they're giving me a house. They're giving me everything just to be able to play football. And here we go with this guy. And he's like, dude, who the fuck is this American dude walking up into my country thinking he's going to take my spot? I don't know exactly what he was thinking, but I'm trying to give you context, right? And like, dude, pay to play America? Don't set anybody up for that. Like, I was shocked like hell. I'm like, dude, what the fuck is going on? And then I go to the first official game. So they know I play 6 or 8. And they put me at number 7. So we play a 4-4-2. Two strikers, number 9, double nines. And they put me as a number 7. And I'm like looking at him. And what's crazy is you don't get a jersey number, right? So when you, at least at that point, you walk into the locker room, all the kits are out. Based on the position you're playing, whether you're a starter or a sub, you get a number. So since I was playing 7, which is right wing, they gave me 7. Right? So I don't have number 10 because I want to be number 10 because that's pay to play America. No, the club has uniforms. Whatever position you were playing that day, uniform. That's your uniform number. So 2, 4, 5, 3, 6, 8, 10, 7, 9, 11, so on and so forth. And then if you're subs, you get 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. And So I'm playing right wing and I'm pissed off the whole game because I'm like, bro, you guys know I don't play right wing. The whole time in training, I'm not playing right wing. And then this game, I'm playing right wing. Get to halftime, whatever. I had an okay game, whatever. I'm not a right wing, right? Okay. Get to halftime. They're like, hey, Kyle, you're going to center back, left center back, number five. And I'm like, excuse me? I'm sitting, I was pissed, bro. I'm like, you're putting me now at center back? I'm like, yo, what the fuck? What is happening? Right? And I'm like, dude, this is messed up, but I have to go play left center back. So I play the rest of the game left center back. So the next day after all that, come to training, I'm like, hey, coach, I want to talk to you, right? So my French at the time was probably like 50% fluent. Like I was practicing and whatnot. I could have a conversation and whatnot. So I go in, you know, I think there was a guy there. There was a buddy of mine. Well, he became a buddy of mine that helped translate it. And I was like, coach, I just want to understand, like, why are you putting me in positions when you know I play this position? He's like, Kyle, I know what you think you can play, but what can you bring to the team? That's what I need to find out. Right. I'm translating what he said, basically, but that's the moral of the story. And I'm sitting there going, I don't care what you think. Dude, I came here to play ball, to get out. And what we failed to remember is coaches at that level, they have aspirations of wanting to get to a higher level. Whether he did or not, I have no idea. But he wanted to get to a higher level as a coach. Why else is he coaching? He's coaching a Division IV club in France. Cool. He probably wants to get to a higher level where he's a full-time coach. If he wasn't, I don't know. And he's trying to make a living for himself. So he's got to put the best team out there to play, and he's going to put me or whatever other players where he feels will make the most impact in the game. And I'm going, dude, like, this is mind-blowing because pay-to-play America don't teach you any of this. Pay-to-play America, parents get away with murder every single day because they don't want to see their kid in a bad position. I get it. I don't have kids, but I'm sure you want to protect your kid. But the reality is, real football, there is no protection. You either got it or you don't. And so, like, I think the moral of the story is this. Pay to play does a terrible job of actually preparing players for the reality of real football. So I call it football versus American soccer. We have football over here, which is the rest of the world, and we have American soccer here. And like, dude, the reality of not being a million-dollar player, which I was not a million-dollar player, somebody making millions of dollars a year, nobody gives a fuck about you. You either got it here and you can push through those barriers, or you crack, get out, thanks, next guy comes in. Like, you got to remember, in Europe, you're not paying for it unless you pay for a program that takes you over there. Otherwise, it's completely fucking free, or it's dirt cheap and you're paying like $100 a year. And so that's why I keep reframing this as pay-to-play America does not teach anybody the realities of real football. It teaches you the reality of pay-to-play America, where parents can do whatever they want, whenever they want. And if they don't like something, they go complain. And mom and dad can go get that problem solved. Right? But that's not how this works. That's not how this works in football around the world. And so, like, I hope this story helps people kind of understand, like, guys, I was in your kid's shoes. I had parents that paid for every fucking thing. They took care of me. Like I said, I lived in a house, I had my own room, I had my own fucking PlayStation, I had my own TV, I had my own bathroom, like I was living like a fucking king, bro. I had no idea that football was so different the second you leave this country. Like nobody around the world gives, and this is where it gets crazy too. The United States, like American players, there's a stigma around American players that we fucking suck, truth be told, and that we are a bunch of privileged fucking kids because mom and dad pay for everything. And they all know that shit. They all see the shit on TV. They all see the stuff that's happening. Like, think about the Gio Reyna situation. Obviously, I wasn't a player at that time, but like, can you imagine the talk around the world when you hear, oh, look what Gio Reyna's dad did for the national team. Complained to the federation about the coach. Got the coach fucking fired. Like, does that not just summarize the entire pay-to-play thing here? Like, does that not make sense? And, like, people need to understand, like, I'm sure you want to do the right thing for your kids. Like, you want to help them and whatnot. I think by doing that, like, I can't tell you what to do, but I would tell you what I would do. Like, you got to throw, or I will throw my kid to the wolves one day. Be like, bro, you want to figure, like, I make a joke to my wife, she's Brazilian. And I'm like, you know what we're going to do when we have kids? We're going straight to fucking Brazil and we're dropping him off. I'm assuming it's a boy. We're dropping him off in the favelas in Brazil. Go figure that shit out, bro. Figure it out. obviously I'm exaggerating slightly, but he has to learn that real fucking life, if he wants to make football his dream, dude, is one of the most ruthless, any sport really, but is ruthless as hell. And nobody's going to get your back. The only person that's going to get your back is this. Can you fucking handle this shit? And most people, most kids, 99% of kids in pay-to-play cannot handle it. They crack, like I cracked. I ain't going to lie to nobody. I fucking cracked because I'm like, dude, I had all this stuff in America and here I come to this country, first world country, and I'm being treated like this? I couldn't, I'm like, bro, fuck this shit. I don't have Wi-Fi in my house. I got to walk 40 fucking 5 minutes to get Wi-Fi? Are you kidding me? I'm like, this is fucking France. This ain't a third world country. I didn't come to a third world country and shit. Here we are. But like, I wasn't prepared for any of this. So like at the time, I would probably say I hated it. I don't know if that's the right word. I mean, it was a great experience, but like looking back on, that was one of the best times of my life because like, dude, you know how much stuff I had to go through? Like I was that American kid that brought three fucking suitcases. What? And everybody's like, dude, why do you have three suitcases? Like, why do you have three suitcases? And I'm like, I don't know. I got to bring all my stuff. Should have brought one fucking bag, bro. You bring the necessities. If I'm bringing three suitcases, that means I'm bringing way more than the necessities. I'm bringing fucking everything else too. I don't remember everything that I brought. Obviously, this was years ago. But the idea was, what the fuck are you doing? Bring what you need to play football. Earn that contract and get the fuck out. So I hope that makes sense, man. I hope people take value from that. I hope you understand that. And that's why I keep emphasizing for kids to go play adults, bro. 15 years and older, if you can go play against adults in this country, you might got a shot to get out. You might have a shot to get out. But if you can't play against adults, bro, don't expect that you're going to be able to go play for Manchester United one day or Liverpool. And like the other piece that I want you to realize is, you don't have to make it. You don't have any God-given right to make it. Pay-to-play makes you feel like that, and I felt like that. Like, I had some God-given right to make it, but, like, you don't have it. Like, you got to earn everything that you have. Otherwise, you're going to be in for a huge wake-up call. And that's why I tell parents, like, dude, you got to start putting responsibility on your kids. One example would be make sure they take care of all their own equipment. So bag, cleats, shin guards, training uniform, game uniform, water. Start putting that responsibility on them so they have to level up mentally to start dealing with stuff. And the more that you can put responsibility, the stronger mentally they're going to be over time. And the other example I give is put them in an environment where there's no mom and dad for a month and see what happens. Maybe send them to grandma or grandpa for a month and they got to figure that shit out or whatever it is. I don't know, but you got to do something where you start challenging their mental aspect to see if they really want to play football. Because who knows where I would have been had I had to go through that earlier, being in the pay-to-play environment. I might have quit football, bro. Who knows? I don't know because I grew up in that environment. Pay to play. Mom and dad took care of everything. If there was any issues, mom and dad solved all that shit. I never had to fight for playing time and pay to play. Are you kidding? Fight for playing time and pay to play? Yeah, right. You had guaranteed playing time. So it's like, come on, just keep that in mind. Like, your kids need to be pushed, especially if they're older than 13, 14. They need to start seeing what real football's about. There's no hiding. You either got it or you don't. And if you go to Europe or South America, it's literally kill or be killed. So I don't know. Hope that helps somebody, bro. I would highly recommend sharing this story with your kid. Let them listen to this. See, and ask them this question. If you got dropped off in France, Spain, England, pick a country, could you survive by yourself with no mom and dad? No Wi-Fi? No TV? None of that shit? No iPads? Just you, your phone that you have to go walk 45 minutes to get Wi-Fi for, you got to figure out how to get to training if you don't want to take the transportation that comes and picks you up. And it's like, bro, like the stuff that you got to go through to make it, because you don't deserve shit. You go earn it, bro. You go earn it if you really want to play football for a living, because there's fucking 500,000 other guys or girls trying to do the same damn thing as you. Nobody has a God-given right. You go earn it. And people don't realize how hard it is when you're not worth millions and millions of dollars. Like, we only see what's on TV. We see Marcus Rashford. We see Cole Palmer. We see Phil Foden. We see all these guys making millions of dollars because they're a generational talent. What about everybody else that has to fucking grind all the way through the entire time just to have a chance? Like a Jamie Vardy, who didn't become a pro until 28 years old. You know how long he had to hustle and grind to make it, and it took him that long? nuts, man. So I hope this helps somebody. Share this with your kid. Let them see it. And ask them that question. See if they take it home or and what works for them. Anyways, guys, I'll catch you later. And have a good night. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're enjoying the podcast and finding valuable information from it. Now, I do have a quick ask of you, and that would be to make sure to follow me on all social media platforms like Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, which is at Kyle C. Wilson Official, and on Twitter, which is The Kyle C. Wilson. And if you could help me do that, that would continue to help reinforce the ideas that I want to continue producing content specifically made for you guys to help educate you. And as always, you know I'm there to help, as I have $23,195 worth of content available for free through my YouTube channel that will answer and help a lot of the problems that you're going through, or at least your child's going through. So if you haven't found that yet, go to the YouTube channel, Kyle C. Wilson Official. And without further ado, let's get back into the episode.